good morning. How you guys doing? First of all, thank you guys so very much for honoring us and blessing us as your pastors. It's our privilege to serve and to get to kind of serve among you and to serve you in the calling that God has on your life. And that's our great privilege to get to do that. So thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. And I think it's God's timing that this morning's message is titled, "We is Greater Than Me." Because especially on a pastor's appreciation, as we look to our men and women who serve as our pastors, it's important to realize that it's not about me. It's not about us as your pastoral leaders. It's about all of us serving to do what God has created us to do. And that is our great joy, is to kind of get to help you discover what God has created you to do. And so I just want to welcome you and thank you again for doing that. If you're a guest with us today, first of all, welcome. We don't always have Rudolph in attendance, so... or Superman. I was going to actually go as Bruce Wayne, but then I decided I had to just pull out the cape. So I'm sorry if that scares you or offends you, but today we're going to continue our series. We're called Jump In. If you've got notes that you got on your way in, you can pull those out. And I just want to encourage you that's really our purpose as a church, is to help you to discover your God-given purpose. And I don't just say that loosely, like, yeah, that sounds like something nice to say. That's really my passion, is to help you discover your God-given purpose, what God has made you to do. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, that's my job as a pastor, is to equip you to do the work of ministry that God has created you to do, and to help you fulfill the purpose and the call of God on your life. And so it's my privilege to get to do that. As some of you guys know, we last week talked about a process of how we want to help you in that process, and it's called our Next Steps class. We're starting it next weekend, and so we're going to be starting that. That'll be something we do every month of the year, as we give people opportunity to learn, about membership to the church, and of course what we're all about, but also learn about how they can get connected, and how they can discover their purpose, and ultimately how they can walk out their purpose through serving in some capacity here at the church and also out in the world. And so that's a great opportunity. I want to encourage you to come and be part of that and discover, again, what God has made you to do and how we can help you to propel you to doing the good works that God has created you to do. So with that, I'm going to have you pull out your Bibles. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, you can turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to continue our study through the book of Acts. And today we're going to be talking again, as I said, about we is greater than me. We is greater than me. And this is something amazing that happens when we will make a decision to work together as a team versus trying to go it alone. There's something powerful that I believe God has created us to experience when we will decide, I'm going to work with other people. I'm going to unite my heart and unite my focus together with other men and women that are going the same way as me. Instead of looking out for, what is it, the old expression, looking out for number one. Because that is a tendency of our culture. And so while you're turning in your Bibles, hopefully you're there. But I want to share a quick story about it. There's a little old couple, and they walked into, you've probably all seen cute little old couples, and they're walking, holding hands into the restaurant. They're going into a fast food joint, and everyone sees them because they're a cute old couple, and they're holding hands still, and they're, 100 years old. And so the little man goes up to the front register, and his wife sits down, and he orders her food, and he brings back to the table one hamburger, a small thing of fries, and one small drink. And it doesn't look like a lot of food, but he sits down and he gets his little plastic knife and he cuts the hamburger right in half. And then he starts to separate out the French fries in two little, nice, even piles. And then he sits down and they pray, and then he begins to eat. And there's a younger man, a man that was a little more wealthy, and he looked over and he's like, there's something not right about this. And he reached over and said, hey, guys, can I buy you another meal? I feel like that's not enough food for both of you. And the young man is really trying to help, but the old man says this. He says, no, sir, we appreciate it, but we're really just used to sharing everything that we have. And so the young man's like, okay, fine, I won't help you out. So the old man then begins to eat. So he takes a sip of the drink and then hands it to his wife, and then he just starts eating the hamburger, and then he eats his little pile of fries. And this young man is just watching in amazement as the old woman is just sitting there. She's not even eating. She's just watching her husband eat. And finally, as the man finishes his hamburger, he leans over and says, excuse me, Matt, why are you not eating? Is there something wrong with the food? I mean, he's perplexed. He's like thinking of this old woman and wanting to take care of her. And the older lady says, well, I'm waiting on the teeth. because he's got the teeth. So it'll be my turn. I guess when you get older, if you don't have enough teeth, you just got to share them. See, we need one another. Maybe not quite that much. My wife and I are springing for two sets of teeth. We like to share lots of things, but not that. Now, they say the old expression is teamwork makes the dream work. And for them, I guess it really did. Like, I had to wait for one another. But this morning, I want to talk about teamwork and how we can work together. And we don't have to share the same set of teeth. That's gross. But how we can work together to accomplish so much more together than we could apart. And that is kind of the idea that I want to share about, because we is greater than me. We can do so much more together than we could ever do apart. And Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to pick up our story today. We've been looking at this story of the book of Acts for a while, and we're finally down to verse 42. We talked about it last weekend, but I want to read it again and go a little bit further. So Acts 2:42 says this. It says, "And they, the early disciples, the followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together." Say together.
Together.
You guys sound good. "All who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had a need. And day by day," say day by day with me. "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day," say day by day again,
"day by day,
those who were being saved." See, I believe that there are transformations and spiritual breakthroughs that God can accomplish in our lives in a moment. We believe in the supernatural power of God to break bondages, to break addictions, to do things in our lives that happen in a moment. But there's also those ways that God wants to work in our life that happen day by day, as we walk out our faith as with other men and women in our lives, and we share this journey of faith with others. And that's the part I want to talk about today, because God can do things little by little in our lives, day by day, but it's going to take a choice on our part to connect with other people. And here's the big idea. If you're taking notes, the first fill in the blank is this. We are better together. And together we can change our world. In fact, would you read that loud with me? Ready? Go. We are better together. And together we can change our world. See, I believe that's the truth. And these early followers of Jesus, several thousand of which were brand new to the faith. They hadn't grown up in a Christian church, because there wasn't a Christian church. This is the beginnings. And so they didn't grow up knowing this stuff, but they tapped into this idea and understood that we are better together. Because none of us have all the gifts. Am I right? None of us have all the abilities. None of us have all the strengths, or none of us have all the ideas, except for Jesus. He's the perfect human, but none of us fall into that same category. So we need one another. We need each other to grow up spiritually. And the Bible over and over again tells us that we were made to do life together with other people, walking side by side and shoulder to shoulder. And every time throughout church history where we've seen the men and women of God decide, hey, we're going to stop trying to do this me church, and we're going to start doing this we church. We're going to stop trying to do things that are comfortable for me, and I'm going to start doing what's good for us, what's good for God's church. Every time God's people make that shift from the me to the we, God is able to do something amazing in their midst. God is able to open up the heavens and do a miracle and do mighty works that would have been impossible in this me church. Can I get an amen? Come on. I don't have much of a voice today, so you're going to have to talk to me, okay? See, in our story today, the disciples of Jesus, we see 3,000 people get added to the number. I mean, huge growth, huge, right? It's huge how much God is able to do. And then this thing turns into a mighty move of God. These people aren't just coming to a concert or coming to a show, but they actually start following Jesus and start saying, how do I change my life? How do I start following in the ways of God? And so what happens is, as they start unifying, God begins to give them favor. He begins to give them influence in their city. People begin to see, man, there's something going on here in the lives of these people. And God begins to open up the doors of influence for them in their city. And I don't know about you, but I'm sort of done with just kind of playing church. Anyone else feel that way? Like I'm kind of done with just pretending to go to church and just kind of sit in the, go through the routine and do all those things. I want to see a move of God in my city. Is there anyone else that feels that way? I want to see a move of God in our nation. I want to see a move of God in my personal life and in my family. Anyone else feel that way? I want to see a move of God in my church because I believe God wants to do something here in our lives, in our time, in our season of time on this earth that is going to be big. And I want to partner with God to see Him move. I don't want to just play church. I don't want to just do this me-centered church where it's all about me, but I want to say, God, I want to partner with others and say, how can we impact our world with the gospel? See, that is the kind of world that I believe God wants for us to see. I've got a vision for that sort of world because God has put a passion in my heart to see our world changed. See, we don't need more programs or more stuff. We need a move of God. That's exactly what we need. See, this is only done when we will stop trying to be individuals and start being, as the Bible says, one body with many members. When we will start working together and using our gifts and using our talents and using our treasure and our talent and our time together and saying, God, will you do something good in my life and through my life that might change my world forever? And there's something that happens in every season of time when God's people will do that. See, a move of God will happen when many people act not as individuals, but they act as one. They say, God, what would you do through us, in us, sometimes in spite of us? God, what would you do through us as a people? And I believe that God is wanting to do that in our world and in our time and in our church and in your city and in your neighborhood. I believe God wants to do that. And there's several reasons that we can look at it. We're going to look into the scripture and dig a little deeper into the scripture we just read. But there's several reasons I believe that that God is calling us to stop being me and turn to the we. And here's the first one. The first reason is because together we are bigger. Together we are bigger. Yeah, go ahead. Let's say it. Together we are bigger. That was really weak. Let's try it again. Ready? Go. Together we are bigger. Our voice is bigger, man. Our power is bigger. It says, and they devoted themselves, the scripture says, to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves. We talked about that last week. If you missed it, go check out the podcast. But we devoted themselves. And it says, and all who believed were together and they had all things in common. There's something amazing that happens when we will start not acting as individuals, but acting as God's church together. Not as individual bodies, but as one body with many members. Now, and this isn't just wishful thinking or some metaphor. It's the plain physical reality that when we partner together with God and with others in the church, that, man, we can do so much more. We have so much bigger circle of influence than we would have on our own. And that's something that's always inspired me as a follower of Jesus. When I first, I've shared a little bit of my story last weekend, but when I first came to faith in Jesus, man, I realized the love that God had for me. And I said, man, I'm going to jump in with both feet and start following this Jesus guy. When I first made that decision, man, it blew me away to realize how big this thing was. That this was just something, it wasn't just something that I'd made a decision, but I was joining something bigger, this family of God, this body of Christ, this global movement of people that were saying, we want to tell the world about this love that God has. And it was an amazing thing that happened, you know, because following Jesus is more than just our church experience, it's more than just our personal transformation, although both of those happen. But it's something that we're joining something much bigger than ourselves. See, the movement of God, the family of God is bigger than a political system. It's bigger than a political party. It's bigger than any of those things that we think are so great. It's bigger than our nation. It's bigger than our race. It's bigger than our language. It's bigger than any of those things that we think unite us or can create some sort of community amongst us. The family of God is bigger than that. And we must begin to follow Jesus Christ and put our faith in Him. That when we do, we're joining with the active, manifest presence of God that's working His way out in our created world. And it's an amazing thing. When I first came to faith, I just imagined, man, I'm like joining this movement. of millions of brothers and sisters around the world and millions upon millions throughout the time when Jesus walked the earth until now that have gone before me and walked this walk of faith following after Jesus. It was an amazing thing. And that's one of the reasons I'm so proud of our church heritage as a Foursquare movement, that we are a church that's committed to interdenominational worldwide evangelism. That we believe that, man, there's so many of our brothers and sisters around the world that, man, they might worship a little different than we do. They might like talk or speak a little bit different than we do. They speak in different languages or different stuff. But, man, we are all on the same team. Can I get an amen? We are all on the same team. See, we understand that there's more that unites us as followers of Jesus than divides us. There's brothers and sisters all around our city and all around our state and all around our nation and all around our world that are doing the same thing, that are on the same team, that are on this Jesus team, this superhero Jesus, which I don't have a t-shirt for, but I should. See, they're all on that same team. And that's my passion as your pastor, is to help you to discover and to get on this team, to start following Jesus, to get connected so that you can start making a difference with your life, to discover the purpose that God has placed deep within your heart, and then to give you opportunities, man, to start doing what God has made you to do. See, together we are not only bigger, but we're also stronger. See, we have so much more strength together than we do apart. And let me just tell you something, friends. The enemy of our soul understands that too. We are stronger together. That's why disunity and division and those things, those are not the works of God. God wants us to be united in one purpose and one heart. See, it's like the time the IT guy delivered a brand new laptop to this big vice president. And yeah, he had this really smoking fast laptop. And he said, "You know what, man? This laptop is so good, it'll do half the work for you." So what did the vice president say? He said, "Well, can I get two? Right? If it does half the work, I want two of them." But God does more than double the effectiveness in our life when we will partner with others, when we will walk shoulder to shoulder and side by side with other brothers and sisters. God's able to do more than double. See, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." See, that's the sort of church that I see, a church that men and women walk shoulder to shoulder, that people of different socioeconomic backgrounds and different races and different genders and different, maybe even political affiliation, that people of all different genres will walk shoulder to shoulder and say, "You know what, it's not about those things, it's about the main thing, and that's Jesus. And we want to see his name lifted high. We want to see his name made great." See, the sort of church I see is the sort of place that God can bring lost people, people that don't know God, people that are far from God, people that are searching for hope, and they can find hope. Amen? The church that I see is a place where people with addictions and shackles and things that they've struggled with can walk in the door without shame or fear or guilt or feeling like they're going to be judged or persecuted, that they can just be loved right where they are. Just as I love what you said, Wendy, that God loves us just as we are, but he loves us too much to keep us that way. And that's the sort of church I see, is a place that people can walk in knowing that they're broken and they're messed up and they got dirty stuff and, man, their mouth is not fixed up yet and their actions aren't fixed up yet and their lifestyle is still messed up, but, man, they know that God loves them and they know that the people of God love them enough to walk with them in this journey of faith. Amen? Amen. See, you and I need one another. We need one another to be all that God has created us to be, because we can do exponentially more together than we could ever do apart. Even the best days apart cannot even come close to the worst days together with other brothers and sisters, because we're just better together. So together we are bigger. The second truth we learn from our scripture today is that together we are helpful. Say helpful. Together we are helpful. It says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as they had a need." Now, I don't know about you, but I read a passage like that and I think, wow, that's some crazy generosity. But generosity is deeper than just a handout. It's deeper than just giving somebody what they need or want. See, Christians throughout history have been great advocates for the poor. I believe throughout history, we've seen the disadvantaged, the downcast, the downtrodden. They've been lifted up by Christian brothers and sisters. And part of which is from this belief from Acts 2:42 through 47 that teaches us, man, these early Christians, they cared about people as they had needs. And it's the fountainhead of much of that thought. But there's something truly powerful when followers of Jesus will not just demonstrate generosity by what they give, but how they love. That they won't just be generous with their finances, but they'll be generous with their spirit. They'll be generous with the way they speak to and love people. See, there's something powerful when we will do just that thing, but we can't put all of our eggs in this basket. You know what I'm saying? Some people will put all their eggs and say, well, we just have to give and serve and feed the homeless and clothe those things. And that's important work. And friends, I'm going to tell you, there's something important that we do then. But there's a need for balance. See, we need to be people of grace, but we also need to be people of truth. See, what I love about this passage is sometimes we look at it and we say, man, it just means we're supposed to give everything away to others. But we miss that a couple weeks back as we were studying, the first thing Peter did was he called them to repent. He called them to turn back to God. He called them to the truth, and then he loved them. And then they loved one another, and they loved on each other. There's a need for balance. We need both grace and truth. We need repentance and forgiveness. See, some in our world today miss this important point. They miss the most important point that, yes, the good news is that God loves us. But the good news is that God loves us enough to rescue us from our mistakes and our sins and our brokenness. And that is the good news of all. It's not good news if we don't understand the brokenness that we exist in without Jesus Christ. We need both. See, our grace means nothing if we don't speak the truth, but our truth will not be heard if we will not speak it with grace. See, we need both grace and truth. And many followers of Jesus preach a gospel of social justice. And we should be the group, one group on earth that will love the homeless and will love the poor and will love the hurting more than anyone else on the planet, but not without the truth of the gospel. Because I can set a man free from homelessness, but if I don't set him free from eternal separation from God, then I've not done him any good. You can say amen, that's good. See, I've got to do both. And as followers of Jesus, some others just want to preach repentance and just talk about sin and brokenness, and they never talk about the grace of God, and they never care with their actions. We need to have both, my friends. We need both the law and the love. We both need truth and grace. See, generosity, as we often hear it, it's not just a financial posture. See, what I love about the people of God that we see about in Acts is that, man, they ate and drank with generous hearts. There was their spirit about them that was generous, not just with their physical things, but man, they were generous with their gifts, and they were generous with their time, and they were generous, yes, with their treasures. They were generous with those things. So God wants us to work together, because together we can be more helpful than we could be apart. The third thing we learn from our message is together we are inclusive. Can you say the word inclusive? Some of us get the heebie-jeebies just reading a word like that. I don't know why. Maybe we've had it misconstrued or pulled the wrong direction, but it says, all who believed were together. Say those words with me. All who believed were together. There was no dividing lines. There was no black church and white church and Hispanic church and this church and that church. It says, all who believed were together. There's something amazing that will happen in the lives of the church when we will live that out, when we will say, all who believed were together. There's not like a young group and an old group and a Hispanic group and a Latino, you know, there's none of those divisions that we sometimes put in our minds. It says that all who believed were together. See, we live in probably one of the most divisive seasons of time in our nation's history. Where we are being divided along so many different lines. And I don't believe that is obviously the work of God. I believe there's a division that's occurring in our nation, and it's not of God. And it's not God's will that we would do those things. See, we want to draw these lines of separation and say, well, oh, if you're wealthy, you got to go over here, and I'm less wealthy than you, so you must be mean, and I'm being disadvantaged. And we want to separate out and say, you know, if you're white, you need to go over here, and if you're brown or red or some other color, you got to go over here. We want to separate out these lines because somewhere along the way, we've gotten this idea of victimization. That, man, there's people over there that are evil. And if I just draw some clear line in the sand, then I can call you a devil and treat you that way. Instead of treating you like someone who's loved by God. Instead of treating you the way that I want to be treated, as the Bible says, as Jesus calls us to do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. We don't want to do that, so we're going to draw a line in the sand. And our nation has been so fractured and so divided, the wounds of our past are being opened up, and there's being acid poured into those wounds, and we are being divided up. And church, let me just say something. We're so much better than that. And I'm not saying we're better than that because, man, we're so righteous or so. No. That's not the sort of love that our God has demonstrated to us. See, the Bible declares that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we didn't have it all together, God loved us anyways. When we were different and far apart, and God should have drawn a line in the sand, when our sin did draw a line in the sand, God reached across that line and said, no, I want to rescue you. I want you to come home. See, there's something amazing that will happen when we will do that. See, our nation was once called the melting pot of the world, that where every culture and society and tribe could come together and we could melt together and be one. And I believe that as we walk further and further away from our biblical foundations as a nation, we see that, man, we're not really doing that anymore. We're not really a melting pot, we're a dividing line. And let me just tell you, I don't have any hope that our nation will be that, because it's not the job of our nation to be that. It's the job of God's church to do that. It's our job to be that melting pot. Amen? Amen? See, it's our job to be that, because it says that that all who believed were together. All who believed were together. That we should hope for and long for a day when there is no division of race. There's no division of language. There's no division of cultural differences. That we will look at our brothers and sisters and say, you're my brother. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. I love you. That's the radical work of redemption that God wants to do, and he can only do it through our church. He can't do it through our political system. Let me just tell you, I've got no hope in any political system saving America. I've got no hope in any political candidate saving our nation. I've got no hope in some political system or some process or some government program solving the problems of our nation. The only thing that's going to save our nation is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who unites us. He's the only one who calls us to radical unity, to radical oneness with others. Only Jesus can save our nation. See, it says all who believed were together. See, I believe that the church is the one place on earth where all are welcome. Amen. See, we're so busy dividing up our nation and saying, well, these are for this kind of people and that's for those kind of people, and Republicans over here and Democrats over here and independents, I don't know, somewhere else. But we were so busy dividing these things up and drawing lines, and the church is the one place on earth that God says, man, that's to be for everyone. That's to be a place that's safe for every person. No matter what they come with, no matter what kind of baggage they bring through the front door, no matter what kind of stink they bring through the front door, physically or otherwise, that there's the one place that we welcome people, because it's the one place that God says they should be welcome. We should be welcome. And as we go out from this place into the places where we go, we bring that same spirit, we bring that same generosity, we bring that same inclusiveness to the world that says, man, I love you just as you are. Because you know what? My God, he loved me just as I was. He didn't wait for me to get it all fixed before he said, I love you, son. He loved me first. See, all who believed were together. So we stand. We stand with men and women that are being persecuted, that are having violence done against them, that are downcast and downtrodden. And we stand with others. We pray for all of our politicians. We don't just pray for Republicans or just for Democrats. We pray for all of them, regardless of where we find ourselves. Because you know what? God has told us to pray for our rulers, to pray for those that are overseeing us. And brothers and sisters, we got to pray for this election. We got to pray for our state. We got to pray for our city. We got to pray for our land and pray for our world. And yes, we want to pray for the men and women who will lead politically. But more than that, God, we need to pray that God will do a mighty work, because there's no hope in our political system. The only hope is in Jesus. Amen? We need to pray for those things. See, I pray that God would heal our land, that he would unite us. And I do believe that we should be ambassadors for reconciliation wherever division occurs. But our hope is not that our nation is going to be the answer. My hope is that God's people will be the answer, as we stop saying it's all about me and we start saying it's all about we. See, and that's the only way that takes place. I believe the church, with all of her faults, with all of the mistakes of the church, is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. See, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then later on, he turned to his disciples and said, no, no, no. You're the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. That we live in a dark and perilous season in our nation's history and in our world's history. And Jesus is saying to us, would you stand and be a light in a dark place? Would you be the hope of the world? See, we're not perfect. It doesn't take me to tell you that. I mean, I'm dressed as Superman, for Pete's sakes. Pete was dressed as... Well, we won't talk about that. He changed out of his costume. You guys got to encourage him. It was a good costume, Pete. We loved it. See, the church is not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And though we are not perfect together or individually, we serve a God who is. And we serve a God that wants to bring hope to this dark world. And that's what's going to happen if we stop giving in to the victim mentality of our world. If we stop saying it's about me, start saying it's about we, I believe God is going to do a mighty work. He's going to move in a way that we haven't seen maybe in a long season of life. I believe God wants to do that. In fact, we've got to cut that stuff out and say, it's not about me. In fact, would you say that with me? Ready? Go. It's not about me. See, I want to encourage you, make that your motto this week, that when you're going somewhere and you feel like, man, I want to do it my way, I want you to just say that. It's not about me. See, when your neighbors are annoying you by knocking on your door all night tomorrow night, I want you to say, it's not about me. It's not about me. I want to go have a conversation with my neighbor and love them with the love of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to be weird or strange or goofy, but man, I'm going to open up my door because it's not about me. It's about other people. It's about we. See, we got to start doing those things, because together we are inclusive. And finally, my last point, and it's going to go real fast, is together we are inclusive. It's together we can change the world. Together we can change the world. See, it says that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. See, the result of men and women that will not only be generous with the way they live, not only be inclusive, is that God will begin to multiply our influence in our city. He'll begin to multiply the influence of his son in our own lives and do works that are beyond our own imagination. See, God has a plan for your life, my friend. And he's got a plan for this church family. But so does the enemy of our soul. As Pastor Kyle shared in worship, man, there are things that work beyond our own natural world. That's not to sound weird or crazy, but we have a God who's given us victory over the things of our enemy. He's given us victory over the plans that the devil has for our lives. See, Jesus said that the devil came only to kill, to steal, and destroy. But he said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. God wants to give us a newness of life. He wants to see our city transformed. He wants to see our nation restored. But that's not going to happen through a political system. That's going to happen when God's people will say, it's not about me, it's about we. God, would you unite us? Would you do a mighty work? Would you begin to see that? See, there is an assignment against our church and against us as we begin to take new ground for the kingdom of God, as we begin to open up the floodgates and say, God, we're going after those lost people that are far from you. There's an assignment of the enemy against us. And his desire is to bring disunity and to conquer us. But let me just say something, friends. We're not going to back down. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop reaching out to people that are far from God because there's persecution. We're not going to stop reaching out to the people of God because, man, there's hardship that comes with doing that, because it gets messy, because people come in with baggage or brokenness or stuff. We're not going to stop because people matter to God. Amen? God has called us to do those things. He's called us to go into the world, to go into all the world, and let people know about this love that God has for them. So my prayer is that we we would stand firm. We would charge ahead. We would do as our series said. We'd jump in and say, God, would you take us to that next place? Because I believe God wants to pour out his Spirit. He wants to do a new work in your life and in the lives of us together. But it's going to take all of us saying, God, I'm in. God, I'm in. Are you in? Saying, God, I'm in. I want to see you move bigger than what I can do. God, I want to see you do things of reconciliation in our city and in our state and in our nation and in our world. God, would you use me? Would you use my life? Because we is greater than me. God, would you do something big? Because God wants to change our world and he wants to do it through you and me. But to do that, we got to stop thinking about me and saying, God, what would you use my life for? What is the purpose you put deep within my soul to accomplish? Would you bow with me and close your eyes as we conclude our time in prayer? So this morning, as we're talking, as we're reading God's word, and as we're joined together in the name of Jesus, the Bible declares that where two or more are gathered in his name, he is there. The presence of God is here today. And just as they did, we've got to make our decision to devote ourselves to that sort of life, to radically following Jesus, not just when it's convenient or when it fits in our plan, but to be we people, not me people. To live our lives on purpose, using our time and our treasure and our talents to bless other people and to benefit the people of God and the family of God in the most way possible. If you've been following Jesus and maybe the Lord was stirring your heart that it's time for you to stop sitting on the bench and to get in the game, I want to pray with you right now. Because God wants to give us each a new hunger to see that sort of world, a world filled with hope. Not hope from a political system, but hope from the love of Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you loved us enough to come. That when we didn't have it all fixed or all worked out or all together, you loved us first. God, we give you thanks for that love. I pray that you'd infect us with your love. That you'd give us that sort of love, that sort of a vision for our city, for our families, for our nation, for all that we see and encounter, that we wouldn't see those lines of division anymore, but help us to be radical, radical people of faith that exist to reconcile the nations, to reconcile our neighbors. God, we thank you for your grace that's so lavished upon us. God, we pray that you'd help us to connect with one another, to stop looking at ourselves and start looking at your family and saying, God, where is my part in your body? What is the thing that you put in me? God, I pray that you'd help us to discover our purpose, and as we do, that you'd give us opportunities to walk out that purpose and to make a difference with our lives. We want to be difference makers, God. We pray that in Jesus' name. Finally, with every head closed and every eye closed and every head bowed in this place, I believe there may be an opportunity, there may be someone in this room that you've never taken that very first step of faith, you've never crossed that line of faith. You've never said yes to Jesus, his free gift of grace. And I want to make an opportunity for you to do just that this morning. See, I don't think you're here by mistake, but I believe the God of heaven has brought you here. And if that's you and you've never taken that first step of faith, maybe you're watching, maybe you're sitting in this room, I believe God wants you to take that very first step of faith. If that's you today and you've never walked in a relationship with Jesus, you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you did and you wandered a faraway way and you say, God, I want to come home. With every other head bowed and eye closed, I want to agree with you in prayer. I'm going to ask you to look up in just a moment and raise your hand. And I want to agree with you in prayer. I'm not going to call you down front or do something strange. But if that's you and you say, I want to say yes to Jesus today, I want to start following him, would you raise up your hand with every other head bowed and eye closed? Anyone in this room today, I want to make an opportunity. You say, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to pray this prayer today. Church, can you repeat this prayer with me? With those who may be praying it for the first time. Say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sins. I thank you for loving me even when I wasn't lovable. Help me to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, church. It's a good day. It's a rainy day, but it's a good day. It's a good day to be alive. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray a quick prayer of blessing over you. And I want to challenge you to come out, have fun. We're going to either be inside if it's raining, or we'll be outside if it's dry for our chili night tonight. But bring your chili, bring your best. Or cornbread or something else. And Pete will relinquish his trophy to you if you win it. But let me pray a prayer of blessing over you before you go. I think that's coming home with me, though. Sorry to say. Just kidding. With that humble note, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you. We thank you that we are your sent people, sent with the love of God to be the hope of the world. God, even when we don't feel like we're the hope of the world, I pray you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us hope so we can be hope, that you'd bless us that we might be a blessing to all that we see and encounter. God, would you fill us up today as we leave this place, that we might go with the love of God to be your hands and your feet in this world that's in need of your touch. So God, we pray that you'd send us in the name of the Lord Jesus today. In your name we pray. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock.